shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes to rain righteousness on you.
The deeper life is to be experienced. And these seven messages to these seven churches is so that we learn. We see what is set before us, what we can attain to. It is a vision. It is our goals. It is showing us the rewards of being in this race that we find ourselves in. And it's our inheritances. You see, nothing is promised to those who allow themselves to be overcome. That is absolutely clear. The blessings of the book of Revelation are to those who overcome. And overcoming, God has shown us, is staying with it. Whatever the cost, whatever we're going through, whatever our experience, no matter how confusing at times it may seem, or it may seem as though God has departed for a season, whatever, it is for those who overcome. And for those who are in faith as overcomers, you will find the blessings that are to be found in the book of Revelation. You see, many are confused over the unscriptural concept, even of salvation and even of faith. Why, we know that. Sadly, most in churches still have a confused idea and concept of salvation, and certainly about walking by faith. As we know, it's often reduced just to works and just sayings. And, you know, they'll just accept anyone who just confesses Christ into their churches, their institutions, their organizations. Never really looking for fruit in believers' lives. As long as they're busy, they're active, and they're supporting, particularly financially, the church, all is well. But you see, the tragedy of all of this is there's no real evidence of a changed life. Why, even the Puritans were sticklers for that. Even the very early Pentecostals, before they started to move into error, were sticklers for that changed life, that new birth. Until today, so much of it is marred. You're never sure. So much of the world, as we know, lives like the world and acts like the world. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. And here the apostle says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And that is why God has to call. He has to take the initiative. He moves first. And if we have seen this calling and are experiencing this calling, then we walk in accordance. And it can only be appropriated by faith, simply believing. Why, even Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 13, he who endures to the end shall be saved. So, the book of Revelation, as I said, is a book to the overcomers. The overcomers will understand this book because they're being given insight, revelation to this book. We know this because we have been blessed with revelation of Revelation 12. I can tell you now, most, sadly, who profess Christ don't really have insight or revelation of that chapter. And yet you have, I have. And what have we done to deserve that? I'll never work that one out. And yet I remember years and years and years back of a minister who lived in Jersey, who used to come over and minister in this country. He's now gone to the Lord, but he had insight, revelation to Revelation 12. And I remember as clear as if it were yesterday, sitting in that room in Woking, in a house, and this man preaching and opening up on the book of Revelation 12, I nearly shot out of my chair. I couldn't get enough of it. I knew what he said was true. And the overcomers know what the Spirit says is true, because it's witnessed, it's confirmed and reconfirmed and reconfirmed. And that confirmation that you get every time is a building. It's a building up. That's what it's about. Well, what does Jesus promise to the overcomers who believe, who walk, who endure to the end? We're dealing with the question tonight, the deeper life is to be experienced. That's the title, what we're talking about this evening. Well, let's turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation 2, verse 7. Let's just remind ourselves, can't get enough of it. Even though you've read it many, many times, yet there's still more to be seen. These are the promises. Verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So there's the first blessing for the overcomer. Now it's interesting, but it says what the Spirit says to the churches. So these seven churches, it's not singular, it's plural, speaks to us. Each of these churches reveals something that we will partake of. These are the promises that God has given to these seven churches. Even though six of them have got false problems, some of them major problems, yet the rewards are still there to those that believe, overcome, obey what God says. So there we are. He says to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What a tremendous blessing there. What does it say quickly in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So what do? It says our faith says we overcome this world. We've overcome the God of this world that deceives, that blinds the eyes of most. That is the one we've overcome. And we do it by simply believing. That's what he says. And that is why the baptism in the Spirit enables us, empowers us to be able to do this. It can't be achieved otherwise. And sadly, we know most have stopped at speaking in tongues. They've not gone on into a deeper life and walk. They've stopped there. They've compromised. They think they've arrived. And failing to see, that's just the start of this walk into a deeper life. I will go even a step further, and some can regard me as a heretic or this minister has totally missed it, but I believe there is no other teaching to the church than to the overcomers. That is the ultimate. That is the goal. That is what is presented to the church. It's hers if she wants it. And the reason, brothers and sisters, that you and I are hearing this tonight, that God is teaching us this, because there's been a remnant who have seen this and prayed for this and desired for this. Many of the saints are now with the Lord, but they saw this afar off, just like they did under the Old Testament when they saw the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. They saw it afar off. So the saints under the new covenant saw one day a bride will overcome, a bride will make herself ready for the overcomers. And they stayed with it. They prayed, they intercede. You and I are here tonight in this room because saints have prayed for us, the church. That is why it is so precious. And don't let anybody rob you of this. The book of Revelation tells us. It's all here, what we're talking about. Let's convince ourselves more if we're still not sure. Revelation chapter 2 verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. But there we are. The second death will not touch you. You are of the first fruits unto the Lord, found in the second Adam and not in the first Adam. Revelation 2 verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Here are these rewards. We may not fully understand what these are, but when they're finally unveiled, they are going to be outstanding, tremendous. you'll partake of that hidden manna to eat. In other words, there's going to be a revelation and insight in eternity that the overcomers will partake of, learning more and more and more about God. They never will ever come to an end in learning more about him. And it's given just to those who overcome. So anybody who tells you that there are not two groups within the woman, the church, are deceived, because there are. And a stone, and on that stone, a new name. You've got a name that will be known between you and the Lord. It will be personal. That's a sign of intimacy with God. Many married couples have little pet names they give each other. It's a sign of intimacy. So there's a type of what the Lord's going to have for you, for me. Verses 26 to 28. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. And he says what this power is, that you will rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed in pieces like potter's vessels. We know that when we come back in the millennium to rule and reign. You will reign over nations. He's going to give you responsibility, great responsibility, to help bring the people back to true worship, to true consecration, love, commitment to Almighty God. As I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So one could possibly ascertain that there's going to be a place that's a reward for the overcomers. Again, constantly says, have you got an ear? Is your ear open? Your mind? Is it feeding your heart? Is that seed sowing into your spirit? Here we are, the parable of the sower. Revelation 3, verse 5. A message to the dead church. It says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He's going to confess your name confidently, because my servant endured and stayed with it to the end. Verse 12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar of the temple of my God. He shall go no more out, and I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I went the other week to a reception to one of my students whose husband who died. And the reception was at a golf club not far away. And during the time that I was there, there were a few speeches about this man who died. I did know him. The speaker said, his name is written up there on the wall. Amongst the others, he was a captain. And so his name is there, reminding people. And this new city of God that comes down, the new city there, your names will be there as a reminder in eternity. I thought of that when I looked at that. Well, carrying on with this, Revelation 3, verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So he says, you're going to sit with me. You're going to be at the high table. There will be myriads and myriads of others who have come out of great tribulation who will look at you as you sit with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can't get your head round this, but this is what he says to the overcomer, to those who stay with it, endure to the end. This is what he's promising. And it just goes on. Let's turn to Revelation 21 and verse 7. Revelation 21 verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son or sons. That is the position throughout eternity that you have with him. This is why we make so much of sonship. And yet very few really want to grow or mature. That is the problem. And that is why God is bringing the bride into perfection. And this is wrought. Yes, you've worked it out. This is wrought by the word of God. The pure word and obeying it. That's how he's going to do this. That is why the word of God is so, so precious. We dare not deviate from it or change it or alter it in any way. John 16, verse 13. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So there we see the Godhead is communicating. He's not just doing it on his own, but in complete harmony and agreement from his Father. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So what was given to Christ, he says also, I will share it with the overcomer. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Why do we doubt? He means what he says. There's only one who wants to rob you of this, and that is the enemy. We all too often listen to him. But God is so working with us so that he's getting our attention, he's getting our hearts, our whole being, looking to him. And none other. Ephesians 5. Let's let these scriptures speak to us. Ephesians 5, verses 26, 27. Ephesians 5, 26, 27. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. How is he doing it? By the washing of the word. For faith comes by hearing the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And that is what we're receiving, the deep things, the meat. Most, sadly, can't receive this. They will argue, they will bicker. But you are receiving it. Because something within you cries out deep under deep. You want to go deeper and deeper. It's called the deeper life. And sadly, the rest of his body, those who are rejecting this, sadly, they're going to have to go through the purifying of fire. We know this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 to 15. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And there are many who are wanting to follow God on their own terms. They want to build a church that suits them, that they can compromise in and continue to sin in. But there's only one foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone build on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. There we are, the overcomers. They are building upon that firm foundation. And your trials and my trials tell me clearly whether I'm on that firm foundation or not. Because it will hold whatever we go through. It's built for it. Because it's Jesus. But he goes on, the warning. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So sadly, there will be many who will be saved as by fire. But that is still the mercy of God. But brothers and sisters, you don't have to go through that. God is showing you the way of escape. You see, many Christians never move on and they can't receive the meat of the word. And the reason being is because they're unwilling to pay the cost. But there are some who are willing to pay the cost and who will go on unto perfection. A perfection of faith and consecration, not sinless perfection, but a perfection of faith and consecration that will enable you to receive your rewards as an overcomer. And I leave you with these two last scriptures. Hebrews 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. In other words, don't get caught up in all the church politics and the dead works. It's a hindrance to perfection. Now, it's not to say that we don't wish to be used. Of course we are. But we've heard many, many times it's not doing but being. And as I've said many, many times, those that are the most busiest in churches are the least spiritual. And I know that from experience in my past years of being in the denomination. I too was one of them. Busy, busy, busy. And it was the mercy of God that opened my eyes that brought me out of it all. It's bondage. And I speak that from experience. Let's finally finish to remind ourselves again. Romans 8, verses 14 onwards. Romans 8, verse 14 onwards. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, and that is exactly what God's delivering the overcomers from. You haven't got fear because it's bondage, but you received the spirit of adoption. So the spirit of adoption, sonship, deals with that fear, because fear makes us go back. That's the nature of fear. But you haven't. You received the spirit of adoption, by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. In other words, there's relationship. You are having a revelation of the Father's heart. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So there it is. It's bearing witness all the time, confirming it all the time. And if children and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So it is suffering. It is trials. And some of those sufferings and trials are that they're rejecting Christ. I know I've taken this teaching of the deeper life to many, many over the years. And a lot of them just reject it, don't want it. You can't walk that walk, that's impossible. But that's not what it says here. And it goes on, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So whatever you're going through, whatever your experience, hang in there. That's all he's saying, because it's not compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in and through you and me. If you only just knew, he's saying, you wouldn't take on these attitudes, you wouldn't gripe and moan to what you're destined for. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So creation's waiting for it. Eagerly waiting to be released. This is why I've said before, and I'll say it again, we set all of this in motion. This is massive. This is global, what we're dealing with. That is why we have to seek the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All of this manifestation of the sons of God depends on this. The creation's waiting for this. to be released from bondage. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. In other words, Adam listened to his wife and brought the world into bondage. But that is to be lifted soon. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. This is why the nature of the deeper life is deliverance. And the deliverance has to start with you and me before the world can be delivered. Groaning creation can be delivered. This is why I'm saying it's a lot bigger than your trials, what you're going through, or how you feel. We need to grow up. Let the Holy Spirit illumine you to what you are destined for. For we know that the whole creation groans and labours with birth pangs until now. Verse 22 is a very, very important verse, as God has revealed to me. For we know the whole creation groans. It is, in other words, revealed to you. It is your experience. You know, without doubt, it's revealed. And that's why we go on like we do, as overcomers. Because the whole creation is groaning and labouring. There's birth pangs. Because the man-child must be born. The man-child must rule and reign with Christ. Now you either know that, you see that, or you don't. Because I said at the beginning, the deeper life is to be experienced. It is a revelation revealed to us. Our minds and hearts being illumined by it. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So there's something within us. How much longer, Lord? Come, Lord Jesus. I have that. I hear myself saying it. It all needs to be released. It's all groaning. It's confused. They can't discern the left hand or the right hand. The nations are heathen. It's groaning. Come, Lord Jesus. Here am I. Use me. That's what this is about. And if that is within your life, within your heart, if that is your vision, your walk, your pressing in, then look what is your inheritance. Look how generous and loving our Heavenly Father is. Look what he is sharing with us as the bride makes herself ready. That is why, brothers and sisters, I do not deviate from this. I've gone too far. I'm too deep in it. I've experienced too much of it to know that this is not God's end time revelation to the church. And I regard it as the greatest privilege that we can have, that we're on the threshold of a new dispensation of ushering in the kingdom of God, putting all of this down, the powers of darkness, the very devil himself. That is why we're in spiritual warfare. That is why our prayers, our intercessions, as I close now, are vital. That is why you are baptized in the Spirit and you speak in those languages. That is God praying through you, addressing the powers of darkness. Little wonder Satan hates all of this. Little wonder that you're the target. But I've got good news for you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit has sealed you. It's put a sold sign on you. You're not for sale. In other words, sold means you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not selling you. You can walk away from it. You have a will. But if you truly know the experience of what I've been sharing this evening, no one will ever give up this reward. It will be worth it. God will not fail us. He is faithful. And he's faithful to those who endure to the end. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for quickening your word to us this evening. Thank you for encouraging us, showing us that our labours are not in vain. And whatever is happening, whatever we're going through, is nothing compared to what is being revealed in these last days. Father, I thank you that you never let us down. You are always faithful. You are always the same. And this is why we can completely and utterly trust you. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't. Forgive us, Lord, when we open the doors still to these fears. And we know what these fears are like because they're tormenting. They make us double-minded, up and down like a stormy sea. But you have come into our lives as the Prince of Peace, and you still those waters, and you bring calm. You bring hope. You bring vision. You bring renewal. You bring healing and deliverance to the whole man. And we thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Now unto him who is able to keep, you from falling, and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding